Help the Crowd Shout Radio Show grow and thrive by doing something you already do. Shop on Amazon. Amazon always has great deals for whatever you are looking for. From survivalists and riot gear to Beanie Babies. Next time you're going to shop at Amazon, use my link. The prices stay the same, but I get credit for the sale. Just go to tinyurl.com/LouieB and just shop normally, knowing that you're helping support the Crotch Shot Radio Show. That's tinyurl.com/LouieB.
Warning. Warning.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
One angry New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show. Determined to piss the world off by shoving a mirror in front of society's face. He kicked them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Crotch Shot Radio Show.
This is not a test. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the Weepy. The Weepy.
Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war against bullshit. We would do anything and everything to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept that, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louie B. I takes no bullshits from nobodies. I actually expose the bullshit of society and chop it up into easy-to-digest chunks for you. Today will not be any different. Today I am honored to have an alt night, but I did something special. I made them an intro. Let me play it. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you a real American who battles domestic enemies of the Republic. He speaks loudly and carries a big stick. I present to you, Kyle Chapman, the Based Stick Man. There you go. We got the Based Stick Man himself, Kyle Chapman. Kyle, welcome.
Louie B, thanks for having me on, brother.
Hey, do you like that intro?
That was good, man. Yeah, you did a good job with that. Appreciate you.
And I'll send it to you after if you want it. But it's really I love your work, especially how ironic it is, because Antifa, their tagline is "Smash the Fash." I have yet to come up with a similar tagline for cracking the commies or something like that. But
crush the commie, baby.
So, yeah, let me get into it. What set you off? What got you to the point where it's like, you know what? I'm gonna get a log. I'm gonna make a shield, and I'm gonna crack some dumbass upside his head.
Well, you know, it's been going on for a while, man. It's been simmering, it's been building, watching all the Trump rallies get attacked multiple times by Antifa, Black Lives Matter, you know, La Raza groups, all these groups, various leftist organizations and domestic terrorist groups. Mm-hmm. So it was building up for quite a while. and then the Milo event happened in at UC Berkeley. So after seeing that poor girl get maced in the face, you know, the Proud Boys showed up there. They got jumped. One of the Proud Boys got knocked out, and then they were bashing him in the head with bricks and sticks after he was laying face down unconscious on the ground. I said to myself, that's it. The next event, I'm going, and I'm coming in force. I'm not messing around anymore. So I heard about the event on March 4th, which became to be known as the Battle of Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And did my research on Antifa, and briefed myself on their tactics, and noticed they were using closet rods that were basically disguised as flagpoles, clubs that are made to look at flagpoles to skirt various legal various laws,
mm-hmm.
and they had shields. I mean, that's honestly the inspiration came from Antifa. They were bringing shields to these various protests that they were trying to attack. So I said, well, if I'm going to go up against these guys, I'm going to have to be equally prepared.
Right.
So you saw the shield, you saw the flagpole. Their number one way of attacking people is pepper spray. I actually didn't show up with the goggles or the respirator, the helmet on. I just had a USA hat on. And after I was pepper sprayed three times, I donned the helmet, the goggles, the respirator, and I started cracking commies in the head, and there became Bay Stick Man.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that kind of pissed me off about that whole thing was that the whole longest time these, and let's call them what they are, because I got no respect for them, these pussies, nothing legally would happen.
Nothing.
The thing that pissed me off about you, not personally, was that you got arrested.
I got charged with 5 felonies for my actions at the first Battle of Berkeley. I've been arrested 3 times since then.
So how are your legal battles going on with that? Have they been resolved yet?
No, it's still hanging over my head. So I got 5 felonies, 1 misdemeanor. And I've picked up 2 more misdemeanor assaults, assault and batteries since then, dropping these fools that are trying to, attack us at the rallies. Somebody tried to attack me while I was doing a promo video for the second Battle of Berkeley in Berkeley. So it's all still hanging over my head. The deal is they're saying they're reviewing videotape, and they're going to decide whether or not to charge me, after their investigation is finished. So they have up to a year to charge me.
Okay. So how many? And that's the Bambino.
Okay, come here. What's that?
That's the Bambino right there.
That's the Bambino. Yeah, it's the little guy. I gotta look after him. Come here, shit.
Yep. Take your time. I mean, you're a family man. I mean, look, that's perfect. The child comes, like kids know. I mean, and you got the kid coming up to you for comfort. I mean, that if that ain't proof that you are a good man, I don't know what is. I don't know what is.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. And for anybody else out there, that's wondering if they should stand up or not to these fascists, these neo-Marxist communist domestic terrorists. A lot of people are like, well, I got kids.
Yeah.
Well, I got kids too, man. I don't have money for defense. Dude, I didn't have a whole lot of money in the bank. I'm a tradesman. I'm a commercial diver. It's not like I'm sitting on stacks, but I went out there and did it anyways. And the reason why I'm doing it is to make sure my kid has a shot at living in a free nation. I want to make sure my son has just as many freedoms as, if not more freedoms, than I experienced growing up.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I just hate the whole selective enforcement of law and rules on Facebook and any other social media. Like, when it comes to you, these people, Antifa have like attacked people. Of course, they've been masked, and they do the hit and run, which I that shit annoys the fuck out of me. I mean, growing up in Brooklyn, it was always the little kid or some dude thinking he's tough and he punch you when your back is turned and run away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of their main tactics is they'll pop shot you. Eric Clanton, perfect example.
Yeah.
Of a coward. He was smashing people in the head with a U-lock, a bike lock.
Yeah.
And then he'd scurry off like a rat back into the sea of Antifa.
Hiding behind women.
Hiding behind women. And that's what they do. They put the women on the front line, and then they got the guys standing behind them. They'll pop shot you with rocks, U-locks, sticks, and mace. And then when you go to get at them, now you got to push your way through all these women. And, you know, most people on the right that are like us, you know, we don't like putting our hands on women. So they use them as shields, like cowards.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. That's the thing I don't get. Like, you have these women like I take this as a joke. I think it's hilarious. I didn't get too hurt. I didn't get hurt at all. Let me not be a puss about it. At the May Day, demonstrations they had here in New York, I went with some of the Proud Boys into the fray, and you know I got into it with my own people, Puerto Ricans that subscribed to socialism, and right. Like while I'm getting cursed out in Spanish by some loudmouth, it was the women that hit me upside the like whacked me up on top of the head with a maraca, which is the most. Which is the most fucking Spanish thing that has happened to me in a while. So basically all I heard was boom. I'm like,
that's good. You know, and the girls, man, they're bold.
Because
you know,
they hide behind
their, you know, their gender.
Yeah.
And they'll punch you in the face. Antifa uses the women. They send the mass women out to run through our ranks and just mace the shit out everyone,
mm-hmm.
Thinking that, you know, we're not just going to snatch them up by their hair, tackle them down, body slam them,
or just get
the crap out of them,
or just get decked in the face like that one porn star chick. Well, I wouldn't call it a porn star, but
Moldy Locks. But you know, honestly, I'm kind of over this, you know, being chivalrous with these women.
No, yeah,
Louis,
yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now, mm-hmm. I'm done. You know, one of these broads comes up and pulls that stuff with me. You know, I'm going to handle it. You know, that's it. You're an enemy combatant at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
I'm not going to sit there and be chivalrous with you anymore.
I mean, like my mom always said, because in junior high school, like, you know, the girls there, they like to play the kick the dude in the balls game. Like,
yeah.
Like they think that, like, you know, when the dad say, if a boy's bothering you, kick him in the nuts, but they don't really specify what bothering is. Right. So I might be wearing a wrong colored shirt. It's bothering somebody. So it's time for, I guess it was like time for a wake up call. But you know, after a few times and you know, having to go to the doctor.
Lord.
My mom was like, you know, if a girl is man enough to hit a man, she's man enough to take a hit from one.
Yeah. And at least get choked out. You know?
Oh, no, no. It's like, honestly, I'm with you.
At least get snatched up by her hair or something.
I'm with you. If she's gonna knuckle up and square up with me, then she thinks she's a man. Like,
yeah.
like that bus driver he uppercut that chick that spit in his face. I don't know if you've seen that video. You're going to jail now. You're going to jail. And he reached from his ankles and he like uppercut the shit out of her. I just hate the fact that you got like these guys, they comrade this, comrade that. I watch these videos and it just like I see myself being triggered and I start swinging.
Yeah, so that's one of the hardest parts about, you know, turning out to these rallies is maintaining a significant level of restraint with these fools,
because
that's what you want to do, you know. And I'm from the streets too, man. Yeah, so yeah. There's certain words, you know, you call me certain names,
mm-hmm.
and it triggers an automatic response. And, you know, you're sitting there just kind of on the edge the whole time, man, because these people are throwing out punk this, bitch that, all these, you know, these fighting words.
Yeah.
And you got to a certain extent, you know, you got to keep yourself restrained and not go ape shit on these people for words. You kind of got to let them, you know, throw the first punch or at least push you, you know, and then you can light them up.
Like they go,
and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to maintain that because we got to keep the high ground,
right?
When it comes to these exchanges, and we've done it so far. That's one of the reasons why the cops, I don't think the reasons why they haven't charged me yet, because when you look at my videos where I have, mm-hmm. you know, lit a couple of these people up, it's all been pretty clear self defense,
right? Like it's just they even come at you like. Almost cowardly. I mean, I don't know if that makes a sense. Like they get up, the men actually come in your. They get. I saw the one video. They get up in your face like a woman.
Yeah.
They're
trying to get you to hit them.
Yeah.
They want you to hit them first because they're playing, to a certain extent, they're playing the optics game too. So yeah. They're trying to get you on video, cracking one of them. You know. Without them hitting first, and then they can. Then what they'll do is they'll run right over to the cops. They'll show them the video, and then they get you arrested.
He hit me. Wah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, but then they badmouth the cops the entire time too. You know,
oh, like, yeah.
Fuck the police.
Yeah,
all this nonsense. So yeah, they're playing it from both sides of the fence.
Oh yeah, like there's this one. Like I was talking when we were having the discussion earlier. There's this comedian chick who's a lesbian. So she tries to act. She has the mask. She's like the dyke, Bull Dyke type of lesbian. Tries to be all masculine. She's a Black Lives Matter activist. Like the whole fuck the police. Like the May Day, like last year, she got up in a cop's face, and guess what happened? She got shoved down by the police officer, and she cracked her rib. Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. yeah. Is you know, and honestly, I think you know these things are good because these people need to be put in check.
Yeah.
So you know, a couple more moldy loxes happen out there. You know, that girl's running around putting M80s in bottles and throwing them. And the damn bottles were exploding like shrapnel. And she actually had a wine bottle in her hand that she was attempting to smash over somebody's head
mm-hmm.
when Nathan Domingo came and took her out. So, hey, you know, we get a few more moldy loxes out there, and then maybe these little bitches will think twice.
I mean, what's
about
gonna
getting out there and trying to act like a man.
And I know, like, someone's going to listen. They're like, oh, you're advocating violence. Like, no. If you're gonna start throwing freaking missiles at people that explode, or you know doing that and you end up getting beaten worse than what War Machine did to Christy Mack, you can't fucking be crying.
Yeah.
Who just got life today?
That was a pretty good analogy.
Yeah.
Like
so that's what's gonna have to happen. You're gonna have to like.
It's gonna have to happen. That's
like
it.
if you're gonna get violent and start throwing shit that could like really maim somebody, you know you're gonna end up having to end up looking like Rocky Dennis, like don't like that's what's gonna happen, yeah. And you can't be like oh you're gonna hit a woman, you damn right you're not gonna throw explosives at me, no you're not gonna punch me in the face, I don't give a fuck how big your tits are, I don't care how cute you think you are, and I think it's I mean not to sound racist but what irks me the most are these white liberals. That's what irks me the most, calling me a fucking Nazi.
Yeah.
You want to look at
yeah. White's got a real problem. They got a real identity crisis going right now.
Oh yeah.
With whites on the left, and you know basically you know everybody you know who's right of Marx is a Nazi, and it
oh,
doesn't
yeah.
matter if you're black, if you're Asian, if you're Puerto Rican, if you're Mexican, mm-hmm. you're just Nazi. You're right of Marx.
Seems like
they tend to be the worst.
Yeah.
They tend to be the worst when it comes to a lot of this stuff. You know?
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I find that white liberals are the real racists. They're the real.
I agree.
They're the real racists. They're the ones. They're the ones that will be like, "Oh, why are you here? You're brown." I'm like, "The fuck?"
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to me, they want to be so down and viewed as not racist. It's like how, remember when your mom was baking, and you're like, "I want to help." That's how these white liberals are. Like, I'm helping.
Like, you know. Well, so what you're seeing now is a result of decades and decades of anti-white indoctrination that's been going on, you know, all the way, you know, from elementary school straight up through academia into the university system. Mm-hmm. So what's happened is these white liberals have been taught to hate themselves so much, to hate their culture, and to feel responsible for all the ills of society, to feel responsible for everything that's happened to non-whites, that, you know, the response of them is, well, now they want to help, just like you're saying. Well,
yeah.
How do I help? How do I help fix all these atrocities that I've done to you, and that my ancestors have done to you, even though their ancestors might have never had anything to do with
exactly
slavery or anything else. In fact, it was a very small percentage, something like 4%, and then most of the other, you know, sort of atrocities, it was carried out by governments, not by your average white guy, white man coming over here to America just looking for a better life. So it's a mental illness.
Yeah.
I'm Michael Savage. You know, he sums it up pretty well. Liberalism is a mental disorder.
It really is. Like, I can't understand how you just want to be taken care of by a government that, like, it's the ultimate doublethink. You want to get taken care of the same government that you are afraid of that's going to kill you.
Right. So I think, yeah, the government, it's governments that were the number one, you know, killers of cause of death in the 20th century.
Like, know? All these, like, Black Lives Matter people, like, that are, fuck the cops. Have they ever heard of the Gestapo or the secret, the KGB?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're
the
so...
Stasi.
Yeah.
You know, have they heard of... You know, did they hear about Che Guevara and what Che Guevara said about black people, equating them to monkeys?
Oh yeah,
and Che Guevara and the communists going and killing lesbians, killing gays, you know, killing blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the left traditionally has not held people of color in very high regard. You know, you go back to the Civil War.
Yeah,
to the Dixiecrats. You know, they're the party of Jim Crow, the party of segregation, party of the KKK, you know, so they don't really have a very clear picture of history.
Yeah,
obviously.
I mean, I remember, I don't know if you remember the Occupy Wall Street things that were going on like a few years back.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I I'm in New York. I went down to Zuccotti Square. And there was this female. She was holding a sign, and I asked her. So, you know. In fact, hold on. Let me see if I can find the video. Because I mean, there was this one other girl that basically she was going on about how she's $26,000 in debt, yet she's too big. She's not even. You know, she's only, like, there half-assed holding a sign saying she's $26,000 in debt, yet she's looking at her fucking iPhone.
Yeah.
Yet they hate capitalism, they hate consumerism, but it's all about, oh, well, I got an iPhone. Or they're filming shit on their iPads and that. And, like, look, it's not wrong to have those things. It's just that, but it's just hypocritical when you're talking shit about the very system that created that. If we were still under, if we were under like a socialist system, I mean, the type of shit, we would still be rocking a Nokia 1 or something.
We'd be walking around with the brick, you know, the phone that looks like a brick.
Yeah.
You know? that's where we'd be. So these people, these leftists, they love all the accoutrements that have been and the amenities that have been brought to them by capitalism, and many of these inventions were also created by whites. You know, the ultimate evil, white people, right?
Yeah.
But then they claim to hate capitalists, and whites are the biggest evil the earth has ever seen. And we would just all be better off if we were just all brown.
Oh yeah. I mean, I get called a racist when I tell this story. Like a white person has never called me a spick. A white person has never been racist towards me, like overtly racist, maybe subvertly racist, but never to my face.
Yeah.
The only time anyone has ever been racist towards me were the blacks. Growing up going to school, it was the black people that would fight me if I spoke Spanish. It was the black people that would rob me because they thought I was below them. It was the black people that, it was the black kids that would come at me five on one and think that they accomplished something. I mean, I didn't run. I mean, I stood and fought.
That's right. You put it down. That's good.
But of course I got my ass kicked because it's 5-on-1.
Yeah.
And they cheat. They would like go, come behind you. I mean, the only time a white person's ever been racist was what, 2 years ago? And I assume that person voted for Hillary Rodham Clinton. Like, I was riding my scooter, and I was on his bike lane. He was riding one of those fruity cargo bikes. He spit in my face, called me a nigger, and started pedaling off while I was cursing him out, calling him every fight word you could tell a man. And he ran away.
Yeah, we need to really start to do away with this narrative of the racist white boogeyman.
Yeah,
it's nonsense. Whites are generally speaking, worldwide, generally speaking, whites are the least racist people on the planet Earth. Generally speaking, you look at all the countries in Europe. They're accepting all these refugees. Yeah, not a good fucking idea, by the way, guys. But generally speaking, white and Western nations are the most accepting nations and the least racist nations. I've done a fair share of world travel, and I can tell you what, the Chinese, yeah, pretty damn racist.
Oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah, especially here in Chinatown. Gee, they're you know, there's a reason why they call Chinese the Jews of the Orient. I mean. Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
they'll charge you.
You go to China and you're black, you're gonna know it, man. I mean, I have a sister. She's lived in Hong Kong for almost a decade.
And
she's experienced a significant amount of racism for being white. I growing up in Houston and San Diego, experienced racism on a regular basis, typically from racist Hispanics. Houston, more so from racist blacks. And by the time I graduated high school, I'd been stabbed twice, shot once.
Damn.
You know, I had a good friend. He was stabbed 9 times in the throat with a screwdriver by a group of 40 Mexicans that came to my school looking for me, looking to rumble. They couldn't find me, so they just went after the first white kid they found and ended up killing my buddy. So that this whole idea of racist white people, yeah, sure they exist, but they exist to a lesser extent than racism exists within other cultures. We're going to have to get past that at some point, because this isn't a burden that whites need to continually bear in perpetuity forever.
Let me run some statistics by you. Maybe I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but in the year 2016, I believe 100% of black people never worked a plantation.
I don't think I'm gonna have to look that one up. You're right, bro.
And give or take maybe 1 or 2% for if I'm wrong, I believe 100% of white people have, in the year 2016, never owned a slave.
Yeah. I don't think we could say that for Africans, though.
Oh, no.
Or for people in the Middle East.
No. You can't say that about the Muslims in the Middle East. I mean, I read an article. They still capture African slaves. They castrate them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, why? Like, if you're so worried about Black Lives Matter, hey everybody, how's about, not to sound, it's gonna sound fucked up, go to Africa, and fight some jihadis. Nah.
Yeah. Well, the North Africans, which were primarily, they're not black, you know, so they're Hamitic, so they're primarily Arab, a little bit of white, a little bit of black, but primarily Arab. And the Middle Easterners, they ran the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that really created the slave trade, and then the white slave traders would go to them and purchase the slaves, and then, you know, they'd be shipped off to their various countries. But the majority of slaves, you know, went to the North, they went to the Middle East, and they went to the East. They had black slaves in China. The difference is they cut their dicks off so they couldn't procreate, so then they just die.
Mm.
So that's why you don't have any racial signature of them, you know, all these years later. But they would leave their testicles on because it would preserve their strength. So, you know, and all this is left out of the history books. They don't talk about any of this. They want to pin slavery 100% on whites. And, you know, and as a result, like I was saying earlier, you got these mentally ill white people that have been indoctrinated to hate themselves and to hate their culture because they think it was all built on slavery and on the backs and the blood of other people. Simply not true.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because, like, again, we were talking earlier, I have African blood in me. I you know, like, from what my grandmother tells me on her side of the family, her great grandfather was an African, and he would tell me about the horrors of that. But the reason why I bring that up is, these goddamn liberals always try to pin white guilt on me, which is, I think, the most hilarious thing ever. I was like, I mean, I change color in the sun. I don't burn. What the fuck?
Most whites do change color in the sun. Well, I get a nice golden brown.
Ah.
So yeah, we don't all burn. We don't all necessarily have, you know, fair white skin that burns in the sun.
Well, you, my friend, yeah, you my friend have, you know, some, they, have some,
what's that?
You, my friend, have some color in you, so.
Yeah, just, yeah, maybe. Yeah. But so I guess you're a white Hispanic. Is that what they're trying to pin on you?
I guess so, but, you know, according to my doctor that's treating my ingrown hairs, I have black blood in me, so. Yeah, no, it's like, I refuse to have white guilt pushed upon me, and I think it's just ridiculous because they only use that to try to further their idiotic agenda. Look at the Brooklyn coming out of me. Agenda coming out, you know.
What they were able to do in Europe, mm-hmm. is, so they've always been able to, like, in Europe, to divide people by class.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they typically were able to divide people, keep people fighting against each other that were of the same race, of the same ethnic group. So when, mm-hmm. you know, the founding fathers or when our people left Europe, you know, the founders of this country, the class system didn't make it with them. And one of the things the founding fathers wanted to make sure of is that class system never got a foothold here in this country. So what they've done then is, you know, the successive governments is that they've they now divide people by race.
Mm-hmm.
And in ruling a country, you know, this goes all the way back to the Romans and even before, is when you're ruling over a people, it's good to have a certain amount of infighting amongst the people because it keeps them distracted from what the government's doing, which is ultimately screwing everybody.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You keep the finger pointing going. No, it's your fault. No, it's not your fault, and it's not my fault. It's the fucking government. They've been pitting us against each other this whole time. Wake the fuck up.
You know, Kyle, I can I call you Kyle?
Of course.
So,
of course.
I believe your whiteness is the reason why I can't get a $200,000 a year job. I blame you for everything I've gone. I blame you for my double pneumonia I had 4 years ago.
I got my boot on your neck.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to keep you down.
We
keep
shall
the brown
overcome.
Down. That's what I say.
We shall overcome. Like I mean, and here I am. Like, look, I bust my ass. I'm trying to start a career in comedy. I'm trying to get this podcast, this radio show, to start making money on top of working two jobs while I support myself, not on any type of government assistance, and like I don't got time to be worrying about the white man.
Yeah,
I don't got time.
Well, so
yeah. I got more to worry about my own people trying to rob me for my shit.
Well, so here's what they do, is they get these people to think. Mm-hmm. Number one, they put them into victim classes. So now everybody's a victim, and now they have an excuse for their lack of success. They have an excuse for being a loser that doesn't have a job. Well, it's not my fault I don't have a job. The white man's keeping me down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault. It's, you know, it's the government's keeping me down. Whatever. So now they've given them an excuse. They've placed certain groups of people into victim classes. And then when they provide them with solutions, these solutions are outside of their sphere of influence. So they're mm-hmm. like, oh, well, if we're going to fix things, then we need to pass these laws. We need to have affirmative action. We need to have free college. And then that will make things better for, you know, inner city blacks, Hispanics, whatever. Yeah, so they get them to reach outside their sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to affect change, you affect change within your sphere of influence. You affect it immediately within your own life. So, and a lot of what you see in racism is just people looking down on you because they of the way you look or the way you talk, right? So you want to elevate yourself immediately. Learn how to speak the English language correctly. Go get a book on how to expand your vocabulary
mm-hmm.
in 30 days. Okay, pull your fucking pants up, you know, dress like a grown man, go get you a little snazzy wardrobe, you know, you can get it cheap, go to Ross, Dress for Less, whatever. And then automatically you've elevated your other people's perception of yourself.
Right.
And that's how you can affect change immediately. You know, work on your grammar,
mm-hmm.
work on your vocabulary, work on how you dress. Boom. Next thing you know, watch how people treat you. Watch how people treat you differently. Watch how all of a sudden you'll have jobs opened up when you are articulate, when you have a vast vocabulary, especially when you're black or brown or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're black or you're brown and you come off with a good vocabulary and you're articulate, all of a sudden it's like, wow, that's a really articulate. You know, it's like bonus points as opposed to me being articulate because I'm a white man.
Even,
you know
what I'm saying? That and even giving a shit. Like, you know how powerful giving a shit is when you're working? Like, that is the reason why I work two jobs. Because, like, when I started my other job, which paid more, had union benefits, my other job didn't want to lose me. Because,
right.
Because I gave a shit.
You were valuable.
Yeah. So they were like, look, you know, just stay on with us part time, and you know, because we don't want to lose you. So it's like, fine, I you know, it works out for me. I work on my days off from the other job, but like the point I'm trying to make is these people are they're crying about money, but they don't want to put in the effort. There's money to be made. There are services now, like you know, I don't get sponsored by them, but Postmates, where you could like make deliveries for people order shit and you make deliveries,
yeah.
And you make money. There's the point I'm trying to make. There's money to be made if you just give a shit and you make an initiative. And honestly, people respect you more when they see you actually trying. People are willing to help you if they see you helping yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I called into Tom Likas yesterday, because he was talking about how none of these things that are put in place to stop terrorists are working. He's like, people are just praying and doing hashtagging. And I told him, like, look, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, and I was taught that, you know, you don't just pray. God is not a genie. He needs to have something to work, you putting in work for him to bless. It ain't just going to happen. He ain't going to just make things out of thin air happen for you. You have to, like, get the ball rolling for it to be blessed. And that's the problem. People, a lot of these, the black liberals, they're like, oh, I hope for the best. Oh, here's a hashtag. Oh, I hope this happens. I hope this happens. And doesn't put in work. They're really generous with other people's shit. Like, they want somebody else to pay for this. They want someone to pay for their food, for their education, for their, and it's like the people that.
Well, that's part of the mental illness that has affected the communities of people of color.
Yeah.
And so you have the whites that have been indoctrinated with a self-loathing and a hatred of themselves and a hatred of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so they act out as libtards and Antifa and social justice warriors. And with the non-whites, specifically the Hispanics and the blacks, not so much with the Asians, what you have with them is, well, they've been told their whole lives that is it's because of the white man. And now that we owe them something, we owe them something because of all the past ills, you know, and now they're like, no, this is owed to me for past injustices that may or may not have happened to, you know, my ancestors. And so now they've been put into that, like, oh, give me something. I deserve something for free mentality.
Either that or I'm going to take it from you by force myself.
I'm going to jack you for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I've been.
I guarantee you a lot of white folks have been robbed because the person who robbed them said, motherfucker, I got this coming. And yeah. You got it coming too.
Yeah, I mean, I like 2 years ago, I got robbed at gunpoint in front of my house by a black guy. He was wearing a mask. He stuck a gun in my face. I'm sitting on my stoop, you know, just chilling. And, he just took my shit. And I'm like, wait a minute. I worked hard for that. I work hard for everything I got. And here this person, he takes it. And which is funny because I didn't have any cash on me. The phone was useless because he dropped it and cracked the screen.
Yeah.
So pretty much I friend zoned my mugger.
Yeah.
So I mean it's like, I mean, they ended up catching the guy. I got my wallet back. The son of a bitch put his Magnum condom in there. It was like, that's not mine. Like, I gave the condom back to the detective. I'm like, I don't want that.
You ain't got no use for a Magnum condom?
I'm not going there. I mean, I don't know. There's something kind of homo about using another man's condom if you really think about it.
Well, you know what they say, man. Waste not, want not, right?
Yeah, well, what? I'm going to use it as a water balloon or a parachute? Use it as a fucking slingshot. Throw it at him. But like, yeah, bro, you're gonna need this for your boyfriend.
Right. Well, you know, what Antifa likes to do is they like to take those condoms and they put, what they do is they shit and piss in buckets, and then they let the shit and piss putrefy for like a week or two. And then they funnel it into condoms and balloons and shit, and they throw it at us.
So who's the fucking Down syndrome dick that's on shit piss condom duty?
I don't know, but that's got to be like the new recruit, right?
Yeah, like he's the grunt.
That's okay. You got to put in work, you know.
I joined Antifa so I wouldn't have to work. I just
right.
Look. I'll just wear my fishnets. And make my dad proud while I wear makeup. He wanted a boy, but I identify as an it.
As a they, as them. What are the other ones? Zer?
Zer.
They, them, Zer.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, did you hear about? Did you hear about the the Muslim transgender?
No.
No, his their pronoun was Biff, Bam, and Boom.
Is that a joke?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, yeah, it is.
I tried. I tried.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
No, it's not. Don't give it to me. If I don't.
So you know, I was just in New York, right?
Yeah, that's where we met. That's where we met. We were hanging out with the Modern Patriots. They're actually listening right now. Shout out to Jovi, Guy, and everybody else. If I missed you, fuck you. they wanted me to promote the Modern Patriots. They were there. Yeah, man.
Yeah, solid dudes, man. Yeah, good. Thank you guys for showing out that day.
Yeah, you guys were protesting Linda Sauer.
Yeah, Linda Sauer. Yeah,
Sauer. So,
this you know, if anybody doesn't know who she is a Muslim who has all sorts of connections to ISIS, Al Qaeda, family members in ISIS, mm-hmm. Al Qaeda. They like to throw up this, you know, finger gesture, which is like a number one sort of a gesture, indicating the one and only religion and God of Islam and Allah or whatever. Anyway, she was doing the commencement speech at CNYU, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, CUNY. And, CUNY. It's CUNY. City University of New York. It's a public college.
Right, yeah, CUNY. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so we showed out there that day. I flew all the way out mm-hmm. to the West Coast to back up
East Coast.
Milo Yiannopoulos. I consider him a brother in arms. Mm-hmm. Guy's doing great work out there. And to let these people know, it's like, look, you know, we weren't there to shut the event down, you know, because that's what they do. I respect free speech, but we were there to let them know our displeasure and our disgust mm-hmm. with having some Sharia law, genital mutilation enforcing jihadi giving a commencement address at a place of higher learning.
Yeah.
So-called place of higher learning.
Well, you know, this CUNY, calm down with the higher learning shit.
Okay. It's an institution of indoctrination.
Yeah, yeah. That's more like
keep it real.
Yeah. I went to a CUNY college. It's pretty much the 13th grade.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's that bad, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised they don't teach...
I did a community college course here in San Francisco not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for read diagrams and schematics and whatnot. So I'm a commercial diver.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what I do is read schematics and diagrams and what. And I just wanted to kind of brush up on a few things.
Right.
And when the final came, the instructor gave us all the answers to the test.
Jesus. Like, what's the point?
He gave us all the answers. The whole class passed. The whole class got A's and B's.
Of course.
That's what they do at these liberal colleges. This was at the City College of San Francisco.
Like, look, I'm not gonna knock community college, because look, not everyone is cut out for Brown University or any Ivy League school, but you know, community colleges are good for. job training. Like, as long as you keep it job training and not this extra shit like, gender studies or sociology. Like, if you go to a community college for sociology, seriously, kill yourself. I'm not even joking. Kill yourself. You've done nothing for yourself.
Waste of money.
Yeah. But.
Sociology, we like to call it that's a course in hate the white man.
Yeah,
because that's all they do in sociology is tell you how horrible white people are. But you know what's funny, man?
Yeah.
The other thing I do, so I do non-destructive testing. I work underwater. I inspect bridges, pipelines, oil rigs, piers for structural integrity and code. I also do some underwater welding. So I took a welding class. I was helping out a lot of these guys, you know, how to lay their beads and whatnot, and. Mm. You know, I figured just like what you were saying, hey, man, I'm going to show up. This is a trades course. You know, I'm not going to have to hear any bullshit. The guy who was running the class was a union organizer. And every single class would end and start off with a bunch of socialist rhetoric on union organizing and the importance of it. And, so you'd even in the trade courses, you're getting indoctrinated with socialism.
Yeah. I mean, look, I got nothing against being I'm part of a union. The only the only problem I have with unions is once they start rubbing shoulders with fucking communists and socialists, which is what they were doing at May Day. I was really sincerely pissed. I pulled out my union card and I showed it to them. I was like, look, I am really displeased. But I mean, but also, why the hell are you sticking your nose in politics when your job is to collectively bargain with the employer?
Well, they've always done that. It's nothing new. Mm. Union organizing has always been a political thing.
Yeah, that needs to change, because that is, like, look, I understand, like, back in the 1800s, people were dying in fires because, you know, that they didn't want
work conditions were fucked up.
Yeah. Look, I get it. But now we have OSHA, we have all these other programs. Like, look, the only thing I care about my union is keep my pay at a market rate and just, you know, go in there and negotiate for me.
Right. I'm not trying to make, I'm the same way. I'm not trying to make $100 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right,
well,
for what I
down.
Do.
I would like to.
You know what I mean? Everybody would like to.
Yeah.
But, like, for instance, here in San Francisco, you have the people that operate the transit system here. It's called BART, Bay Area Transit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went to labor and wage negotiations with BART, their union did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys are making $120,000 a year, and they're pushing a stop and go button on a train. So that's where it gets out of hand. That you shouldn't be making $120,000 a year because you push a stop and a go button. It's not a skill. This is operating this tube, you know, this train that runs through this tube. It's not a skill. You're not supposed to be making that much. So then what happens? It just gets out of control. And then where do the jobs go? You know, and where do the manufacturing jobs go? It runs everything overseas.
Right. Yeah, on top of the regulations that Trump wants to get rid of, a lot of them just don't make any sense. Like, look, I understand if, like, let's say you're polluting and it's bleeding into the water table and people's drinking water is, like, going up in flames out the faucet. Yeah.
Oh, the fracking.
Yeah. That I understand. Like, okay, maybe we should calm down with that or come out with a different technology to extract it out safer. But,
sure.
But, you know, because that's when you're affecting other people. You're affecting other people. That's when your shit is affecting other people's property. That's what I don't get. But you know, that's but I'm talking like Ron Paul right now.
Who is a great man, by the way.
Yeah, Grandpa Ron. I you know, honestly,
I love that guy.
As much as I am pleased with Trump, I would always prefer Grandpa Ron over Trump.
Yeah, I would agree to a certain extent. Yeah, I would agree as well. Ron Paul, when it comes to character and integrity,
mm-hmm.
he is unmatched in Washington. I mean, in my lifetime and probably many lifetimes before me, probably going back to Andrew Jackson and some of the founding fathers. I mean, it doesn't get much better than Ron Paul. The thing I do like about Trump
mm-hmm.
is what's happened is we, after 8 years of Obama, 8 years of fucking Bush,
mm-hmm.
who just absolutely disgusts me
oh.
almost as much as Obama, and then Clinton before that, we have gone so far down the wrong path, and our government is so infiltrated with globalists and people that wish to destroy us from within, that we kind of need a gangster in there right now. We kind of need, like, a strong man like Trump.
Right.
You know, somebody that, like, he gets it.
Yeah,
like,
I
Trump
mean,
gets it. Ron Paul's not going to fight as dirty. So we need somebody to get in there. He's going to do some dirty boxing. He's going to fight dirty. And Ron Paul, as much as I love the man, he's a bit of a square. Mm-hmm. He doesn't quite understand. You know, you can see the way he ran his campaigns. I campaigned for him in 2008 pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't understand Hollywood and all this, you know, the ins and outs of, you know, the bigger picture of things. You know, his scope is a bit limited.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Trump kind of gets it on a wider scale. And, you know, we need somebody to go in there, play dirty, and drain the swamp. And honestly, I think he's the right man for the job. Right now, Trump is the right man for the job. I take Trump over Ron Paul. But in 8 years, I'm looking forward to see Rand Paul step in and hopefully give us another 8 years.
All right. Like, the one thing I do like about Trump is, and this is going to transition to something that you're doing right now. He made it okay to be a man again.
That's right.
and now you know where I'm going with this. You're trying to get masculinity fashionable again, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, I'm in the process of founding or starting up a nonprofit, Return of the Warrior Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is, you know, we're going to reach out to our youth, our young men, and our kids, and we're going to teach them how to be men again. We're mm-hmm. going to teach them how to be alpha males, we're going to teach them to understand the responsibility of the man within Western society. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we have responsibilities as men. There's certain things that fall to us. And that can only fall to us, and our women can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it comes to, you know, defending the family, you know, we want to teach our kids how to fight. Mm-hmm. You know, the most important physical skill, and I'm saying physical skill here, for a man to know is the ability to defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
There is no more important physical skill for a man to know. And when you have that ability, and I have it, it resonates throughout your entire life, throughout the whole spectrum of your life. It gives you a level of confidence, like when you roll into a room, when you're walking down, you know, a sketchy block, when you're in a bar, some sketchy people, whatever, or even if you're in a boardroom, you know, and you're surrounded by a bunch of fucking beta males. That you could destroy in seconds. It gives you a confidence, a level of confidence that permeates your whole life. So we're going to teach the kids how to defend themselves. We're going to teach them what it means to be an alpha male, and how our society cannot survive without the warrior class. It can't. You've got warriors. You've got scholars. If you have no scholars, your society will collapse. All right, you have no warriors, your society will collapse. This is how Western society works.
Mm-hmm.
And the pinnacle of that is the warrior scholar. And that's what we want to drive these kids to be.
Yeah, and this
warrior
is
scholars.
And this is tradition. This is all tradition. Like, you know, you'll take your son to like the barbershop to expose him to masculinity, to hear how men talk.
Sure.
Here, you know, it's
take them hunting.
Yeah,
and you skin your first buck, and you get them like, look, it's just blood, it's just mm-hmm. blood and guts, kid. You know, don't worry about it.
Take them
fishing. I know it's kind of gross, but
my dad take them fishing. You know,
take them fishing.
Go crabbing.
Got some fish. Take them fishing. Get them to get past. Because what's happened is we've had a massive emasculation and feminization.
Mm-hmm.
Of this latest generation, and it has upset the balance of our society, and nobody's happy. Nobody can find a relationship they're happy in.
Of course not.
Because what's happened is the women, ultimately, in their hearts, they want an alpha male because that's what women are attracted to. That is biologically what they seek. They want to seek somebody that is going to provide them with good, strong genes for their children, mm-hmm. and somebody that can protect them and somebody that can provide for them. But then they've been told their whole lives with the feminist movement that everything's got to be 50-50. Everything's got to be split down the middle. One night he does the dishes, the next night you do the dishes.
Gender,
one night he cooks,
gender
one,
roles
next
don't
night
exist.
You cook. It's all got to be 50-50, and there's got to be two captains of the ship. Mm-hmm. Well, we all know it doesn't work with two captains.
No.
One captain of the ship. And the best person to lead that ship is the man. You know, the patriarchy is the way to go. So now everybody's miserable. So now you got these women. They can't figure out why every time they do land an alpha male, it doesn't work out, because the alpha male ain't going to put up with their lip.
Nope.
Ain't going to put up with their mouth. I'm not trying to wash any dishes, bro. I can't remember. I can't even tell you the last time I did laundry or washed dishes. I don't do that shit.
Well,
I take out the garbage. You know, I fix the plumbing in the house. I mow the lawn.
Well,
there's a clear separation there of what I do and what she does.
Well, I live on my own, so I do my own laundry and I cook my own meals. So,
hey, good for you, brother. But you know, once you land your lady, things get a little bit easier. You know, in that department, at least.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Most of the best cooks in the world are men. So,
that's true.
And I know I do. I can burn. I do know how to burn some pots. So you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll do the cooking, because I don't trust this chick not to fucking poison my ass.
Yeah, and of course, like, hey, you know, if you like to cook, I'm not saying, like, oh, a man should never cook or a man should never do the dishes. What I'm saying is that when you have a clear separation of, okay, I've accepted these responsibilities because I'm better at them,
mm-hmm.
all right? I'm not going to expect my girl to go out and change the oil on my 1975 Super Scout because she doesn't know how to.
Right.
And I'm not going to expect her to go mow the lawn. She might know how to mow the lawn, but man, she's going to push that lawnmower all over the place. She doesn't like it. She's not comfortable with it. So when you settle into, like, look, I'm better at doing this. You're better at doing that. You know, she's great at nurturing my son, and I'm okay at it, but I don't think I could ever be as good at it as she is, you know? So I'm not going to sit there and tell her that, you know, well, you're nurturing him too much. You know, you're going to have to share that with, you know. So when we have those clear separations, I think it works very well. So back to Return of the Warrior Foundation, what we're going to do is start to bring these kids in. We're going to have, like, we'll start off with, like, day seminars. And mm-hmm. are you familiar with the pickup artist community?
Yes.
All right. So what we're going to do is, so you know, the whole, like, the main way these guys get women is they exemplify themselves as alpha males. Confidence, right? That gets the gal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the alpha male that gets the girl all the time. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring some guys in that are within this community that have been teaching men how to, you know, go and be alpha males. And we're going to curtail their message for young men and our youth or our kids. And we're just going to tell, you know, so we're going to teach them, like, you know, certain ways to carry themselves, how to stand, how to walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple, you know, it's simple stuff like that. How to speak to people, how to look somebody right in the eye when you shake their hand every time. For our young men, when you hold your glass up to toast, you're supposed to make eye contact. You're supposed to give a firm grip every time you shake somebody's hand.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these simple things, these simple traditions that have been lost with our youth, and we're going to bring them back.
I personally get offended when another man gives me the fish palm.
Oh, man, I hate that.
I'm like, I'm gripping the hand, and it's like no grip back. It's like...
it's disgusting, right?
Like, who the fuck, like... Maybe I get a little homophobic about it. It's like, oh, you would.
Yeah. And you know what? So when you shake a kid's hand, you'll notice that they almost always give you the fish bomb.
Yeah.
You know, you shake, like, somebody who's like 17, 18. You know, I meet a lot of these younger men at rallies. You know, and these are like kind of, you know, patriotic young men because they're showing up to rallies and they're fans of mine. But when I shake their hand, I'm like, and I always tell them, like, look, son, you got to grab that hand. You got to squeeze it tight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how it's done. My father taught me that at an early age. He taught me to make eye contact and how to go in and make sure you snatch the palm
right
of the hand. You ever have somebody like go to shake your hand and they grab your fingers? You're like, damn,
oh, God.
You snatched my hand too quick.
Yeah.
Jose would get in there and give you a proper handshake. So, you know, it's simple stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, we used to play the game as boys, when I was going to church with my mom, as boys, we would play that little game, you know, where you shake each other's hands, but you're trying to like really crush each other's hands to see how hard.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a learning thing.
That's how it starts. Right?
Yeah.
That's how it starts. So, and that's a good thing.
I mean, I've gotten jobs. That's what since getting jobs for me sometimes by the way I shook the interviewer's hand.
Yeah.
But this whole fish palm, this whole weakness, this whole feminization, like I you know, of course I'm going to get called a homophobe for this, but it's like, fine, you like sucking dick, fine, you like sticking in another man's butt, but at least be a man about it.
At least be a man when you got that dick in your mouth.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, come on, Earl. Like, if you're gonna at least have the goddamn decency to exfoliate your man's balls. So, with your beard.
This reminds me of is that remember Eddie Murphy Raw when he was talking about how Mr. T, if Mr. T was a faggot.
Yeah, I don't remember.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
Oh man, you're missing out. You're missing out. It's good shit.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy was sitting up there. He's like, you know what? Mr. T was a faggot. Anyways, he went into this whole thing about Mr. T taking it in the ass. So good shit, man.
Yeah.
And would not be acceptable comedy in today's world because it would be extremely politically incorrect.
Of course not. All the comedic legends like Bill Hicks, Sam Kinison.
Eddie Murphy was totally politically incorrect. He used to make fun of Africans, a Goonie Goo Goo, all that shit. Make fun of faggots.
Yeah, I mean,
all that stuff.
They wouldn't make it today. They would, because somebody will always like, I feel offended. And it will be some blonde haired white chick. I'm offended. Yeah. Like, I'm helping. I'm helping fight racism by getting someone fired. Well, before we end it, because we've already gone over an hour, what do you think of what's her fucking name, that redhead?
Oh
damn it. What's her name?
The CNN bitch?
Yeah. The CNN bitch.
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin. The CNN bitch. That's her new name. That's her new name now. I don't give a fuck. The CNN bitch.
I know that Alex Jones and Mike Cernovich are running a really great promo. Mm. They're giving away $200,000 to anyone that can get on televisions, you know, with a CNN as a terrorist sign or shirt. So, and it's like $2,500 per person. You get on television saying CNN is terrorist with a shirt or a sign. But yeah, I mean, like, so, you know, we're living in the day and age of people being beheaded, you know, in mass in places like the Middle East and, you know, quite frankly, in Western countries too, to a lesser degree. And then this bitch, you know, shoots a video of herself with a beheaded effigy of the president. What the fuck was this chick thinking, man? What were her managers thinking? Like, there was going to be no blowback? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, as a libertarian, I don't think nothing should have happened to her. But of course, in fairness, because if like, let's say Alex Jones had a decapitated head of Obama or Hillary, oh, man, they would be held to pay. So, I mean, I'm kind of happy, but I'm also kind of worried, again, as a libertarian, that that she did get fired, because then what's going to stop me, stop someone from trying to get me fired if I say something off color?
Well, they're going to go after you anyways. You understand?
Well, yeah. But you know,
it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter that she got fired. If she didn't get fired and she got a fucking award, they're still going after you.
Right.
Cause you're on the wrong side.
Right.
So you're still going to face the same amount of persecution, you know, like you're still going to be fucked regardless, you know? So, you know, I understand, like, we have to, like, okay, so you're libertarian, I'm American nationalist, you know, we're all for free speech, this sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was a very distasteful thing that she did. And, you know, but this isn't just, like, a random, I mean, she's a pretty big person on television. And she had a beheaded effigy of our president. Like, there has to be some sort of, I don't know. I mean, would you ever do a beheaded effigy of Obama? Yeah.
I don't know, because it seems kind of hack. You see what I did there?
You're good.
See what I did there? Like, you know, it's just like, I mean, there was another comic, an open mic comic, that it's just hilarious that he copied Kathy Griffin. I'm not going to say his name, but he not only did he had an effigy, a decapitated head of Trump, but he was also wearing a Wonder Woman costume. And apparently, I don't know how this got viral, but he was getting slammed by Trump supporters. And it's like, you know, it's like, no, we're tired of the fucking double standard. You wanna say all this racist shit, you wanna talk all this violent shit, and you expect nothing to happen to you. Like, again, I'm kind of torn, because it's like, okay, where's the line? Where's the line? Because it's like, and you know, whatever the line is, it's going to get selectively enforced.
Well, and that's just the thing, bro. Yeah. Is it's always going to get selectively enforced against people like us, and not against people like them.
Exactly.
And if we sit there, if we continue to say, oh well, it's free speech, and we got to play dirty with these people.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck that bitch. You know, go after her.
CNN bitch.
It's kind of like when I was watching these videos on Antifa before I showed up at the Battle of Berkeley. You know, like I was like, okay, I'm going to affect some of their own tactics, and I'm going to use it against them. I'm not trying to play fair with fucking liberals anymore. These people are trying to destroy our country. They're trying to destroy our culture. They're trying to enslave us.
Right.
I'm not trying to play by the fucking rules. You know, I'm done with that. So I'm ready to bust out Saul Alinsky rules for radical right now. Let's use that against them. Why not?
Oh, they would hate.
They've used it effectively against us for fucking decades. We've been losing this war for decades. They've been kicking our fucking ass because we've been too fucking prim and proper about our tactics against them, and too ethical in how we go about dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get dirty. So fuck that bitch. I'm glad she's fired.
All right, then. So, okay, before we go, you got anything you want to promote?
Yeah, if anybody out there, if you like what I'm doing, if you want to promote the cause, you can go to basedickman.com. I've got some merchandise there, some shirts and whatnot you can buy. You can also donate. At this point, I'm working very little, and the majority of my time is dedicated to promoting the cause, to going out to rallies and putting it down in the streets and laying down the line with these liberals, Antifa, and these leftists. So please, if you can, donate. That would be great. You can also check me out on Twitter, @BaseStickMan_. You can like my Facebook page, @BaseStickMan. And also, I have there's another announcement I'd like to make. Right now, I'm in process of releasing a graphic novel. So working on a graphic novel, got several people, former DC and Marvel comic illustrators, inkers, colorists, real patriots that are sick and tired of the social justice warrior liberal path that comic books have taken. And so we're going to put together a graphic novel based Stickman. It's going to be pretty much like an autobiography of me and the events that led up to the Battle of Berkeley and so on. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to be doing a crowdfunding for that, maybe on Patreon or GoFundMe. We haven't decided exactly which platform we're going to use yet. But the important thing about this graphic novel, John, I'll just say this real quick, is that politics is downstream from culture, and they've been kicking our ass in the culture war this whole time. They've just destroyed us, and the tides are starting to turn on that with Generation Z. And it's important that we put out our own cultural message, and maybe for lack of a better word, propaganda, to educate our youth to 1776, mm-hmm. Americana, and the freedom movement. And that's what Bay Stickman, the graphic novel, is going to be about. It's going to give these kids a right-wing hero. And if Bay Stickman, the graphic novel, takes off, then it becomes Bay Stickman, the comic book. Then it becomes BSM Comics. And we're looking at an entire superhero universe of right-wing, alt-right superheroes and anti-heroes, urban heroes, mm-hmm. and leftist villains. I mean, it's a really great thing, and I think it's the perfect timing for the release of a product like that. So yeah, keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I can't wait for the new superhero of BSM Comics to be El Retardo, the Mexican Down Syndrome superhero. He only has one leg, but he fights people with the power of positivity, and people just don't want to fight him because he's like, oh, look how cute he is. He's eating his own toenails. I'm going to
That's
hell.
That's good. I'll pitch that to my guys.
I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I already know this.
Well, it's good talking to you, brother.
You too, and as always, you are welcome to come back anytime. If you ever want to come on, shoot the shit, let me know, and boom, you're on. Like to thank everyone for listening. Shout out to the Modern Patriots here in New York. I'd like to give a shout out to all the Patriots that are on the West Coast. Keep kicking the crap out of the commies. And sure to please like, comment, subscribe, however you are listening to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Subscribe. We are now on Google Play Music, so feel free to subscribe there. As always, we are on here live at 10:30 Eastern on Tuesdays. And and as always, from my house to your house, mahalo.
That is my show, Donk.
Help the Crotch Shot Radio Show grow and thrive by doing something you already do. Shop on Amazon. Amazon always has great deals for whatever you are looking for. From survivalist and riot gear to Beanie Babies. Next time you're going to shop at Amazon, use my link. The prices stay the same, but I get credit for the sale. Just go to tinyurl.com/LouisB and just shop normally, knowing that you're helping support the Crotch Shot Radio Show. That's tinyurl.com/LouisB.